St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. We're going to believe God to touch and minister to us this morning. I'm mind of the fact that it's 20 minutes to 12. So if you'll help me, I'll be through by one. I'll be through just a little bit. I won't keep you all day. The Bible tells us in the 21st verse, 15th chapter, St. Matthew's Gospel. And then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us today and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For we're believing and trusting in you for everything we're going to receive from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, and say, Thank God for mothers. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a mother to be like. I found this little poem I wanted to share with you to start. It said, She cooked the breakfast first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed the children and made sure stockings were all mates. Combed their hair and made their beds, sent them out to play. Gathered up their motley toys, put some books away. Dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two. Baked a jar of cookies and a pie, then made a pot of stew. The phone rang constantly, the doorbell did the same. A youngster fell and stubbed his toe. And the laundry then came. She picked up blocks and mended socks. Then she polished up the stove. And when her husband came in at 6, he cried, I envy you. It must be nice to sit at home with nothing to do. Mothers truly are a blessing from God, and most of us have memories that we share about our moms, whether they're good or bad. Amen. Y'all been around me enough to know that I love my mom, but I've got some bad memories. Amen. My mom was a little lady, about 5'1". I say a little lady. She was a short lady. She weighed about 170 or so. In her latter years, she got down about 130, but she was up about 175 in my younger days. And I remember my mom was one that would really be able to help you out the back door with a broom or... And, you know, my dad always told us, if you can't work in this field, you go tell your mama why. And I don't remember me nor any of my brothers going up to that house explaining to mama why we couldn't work. And so, you know, those things I remember. But there's some things I wanted to share with you I learned from my mom. Maybe some of y'all learned the same things. My mama taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, you better pray the stain will come out. My mom taught me logic from her decisive words, because I said so, that's why. Y'all ever had your mama tell you that? Why? Because I said so. That solved the problem. My mom taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in a wreck. My mom taught me irony. Keep laughing, I'll give you something to cry about. My mom taught me stamina. You'll sit there till you ate all that spinach or else. My mom taught me weather. Looks like a tornado went through this room. My mom taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world, I can take you out of it. My mom taught me patience. Just wait till your father gets home. Mom taught us a lot of things as we were coming up. And I want to know that I appreciate all the moms that's here today. But I want us to take a look at this lady in Scripture today and just see what a woman that she was. And I think she's a woman that most mothers could be like and be very successful. First of all, the woman we read about today was persistent in her faith. The Bible tells us now, if you do a little research, she's a very unusual lady to study. You know, most of the time you study somebody in the Bible, you can go up and look them up. And I don't know about y'all, but I've got a computer program where I go look up stuff, and I've got about 1,000 books in the library on that program, and I can put somebody's name in, hit a button, and I can find out all kind of stuff about somebody in the Bible. I can tell you their background. I can tell you their religion. I can tell you all kind of stuff about this lady. And you know, the thing about this, everything I found out about her pointed to the fact that she should have never went to Jesus with this problem. I mean, she's a Syrophoenician. She doesn't believe in Jehovah God. She worships Baal. She works in the farmland, most likely. And all of a sudden, she's there. And notice this. She would have never gone across town to hear this guy preach. But you ever notice the great thing about Jesus is when you need him, he usually shows up. And just about time this lady's got a problem going on in her life, he comes by where she's at. And all of a sudden she sees him, and after trying a lot of different things, she makes up her mind, I'm going to go for this guy. And for some reason, she latches on to the idea that this guy's got an answer for my family. This guy's got an answer for my daughter. And I'm going to believe that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And by her faith, she begins to move him. Could you say amen? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible tells me Jesus has come into this place. It's an ungodly place, a heathenistic place. And the Bible tells me there's a woman out of Canaan who come after him, and she's crying to him, said, oh Lord, son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Now notice what happened. She's got the kind of faith that she don't give up. Any of y'all remember that kind of faith? Amen. Now my grandmother was the patriarch of my family. I mean the matriarch, not patriarch. I'll get it right in a minute. She was a lead woman. Now, I love my mama, but I can't say my grandmama anymore, because if I get to heaven, I'm going to get kicked off the cloud. Mamie was the matriarch of my family. I mean, when I was a kid, if you called her granny, grandma, mama, anything other than Mamie, she backhands you across the floor. And I don't know about y'all, but my mama's mom was a ninja. She could hit you when you didn't think it was coming. See, some of y'all don't know about that, but, you know, my mama learned from her. Whippings were whatever got in her hand at the particular time she felt like you needed a lick. And they didn't know nothing about no child abuse stuff. I mean, if it was a light cord where they were moving, or it was a fly swap. My granny hit me with a rolling pin one day while she was making biscuits. And she didn't reach over and tap. I mean, you could hear it when she hit me, and there was a knot on my head. But you know, the great thing about it was, she loved me and she prayed for us on a regular basis. And she was a type person, and she didn't get an answer. She just kept praying. She kept believing God that God one day was going to save her grandkids and get us all in the house of God. And can I tell you, she may not have been here when it happened, but because of the residual of righteousness she put in us, amen, I've got brothers and sisters right now that are in church because they heard Mamie praying for us back years ago and wouldn't give up. Can I tell you, some of y'all need to be like this lady who went to him and prayed and didn't give up because she had circumstances that made it look like it wasn't going to work. You say, what are you talking about? She cried to Jesus, and notice what happened. The Bible said he answered her not a word. I don't know if y'all realize that, but let's face it. If you talk to somebody and they don't talk back, the conversation's over. And somebody tell me, say, me and my wife fuss all the time. I said, well, quit fussing. If you quit, there's no argument. You can't argue with a door. Just go through a door and close it. And if she knocks it down, leave the house. We got one man here who said him and his wife never have an argument. They just have intense moments of fellowship. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible said she went to him and he asked her, answered her not a word. Then the disciples came and said, why don't you send this woman away? She's causing us problems. We're walking down the road minding our own business and she's yelling after you. And notice what happened. Then came she and she worshiped him. Amen. Now, church, that's faith. That's faith that says, I don't care whether he answers me. I don't care what everybody else has got to say. I know he is the one that's got the answer, and I'm going for him, and I'm not giving up. And it's time some of us made up our mind. I know the answer to the problems of my family. I know the answers to the troubles that's going on. There is only one way, one truth, one life. That's Jesus Christ. And the only option I got is to cry out to him and believe that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I'd ever ask or think. Could you say amen?
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through a manifold temptation, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth through, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory to the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, though temptation comes and tries your faith, it ain't going to melt like the coal will, and it won't go away like silver. But that faith, when it gets heated, just gets better. It tempers and begins to get more founded and more ready to go. And the more we lean on God and believe in him, the more chance we got to move our family. Could you say amen? Praise God. But I noticed this. She wasn't just a woman that was in persistent faith, but she was a woman of persistent worship. Hello? Notice the Bible said he answered her not a word. Now, church, listen. If one of y'all came down here and said something to me, and I turned my back and walked off, you get mad. Some of you have. I mean, I got ADD. I admit it. Sometimes my brain's over yonder while my body's still here. Some of y'all won't admit that. You just walk around going, oh, I didn't realize you were there. And I try to focus, and some of you don't understand, but sometimes if I'm not looking straight at you, I'm still listening to you. Hello? I used to have fun in school. My teachers would say, Mr. Stroop, would you tell me what I said? And I'd stand up and quote back what they said. I've been doing something different. I wasn't paying a bit of attention in class, but it'd stick in my brain. And I used to have fun with that because the teachers won't throw me out of the class and I could answer the questions. And it'd make them mad. And don't none of you kids try that. That's not a public announcement. That's just explaining how I was when I was in school when I stayed in trouble all the time. Amen. Before I learned how not to stay in trouble. But now, church, all of a sudden he comes up to Jesus. He answered not a word. Then the very disciples you thought were going to help you was over there. Man, wouldn't you like it? You come down to church. I need prayer. And everybody in the church said, get them out of here. There are churches like that.
Amen.
Well, you come down for prayer, and they don't want you down there wanting prayer. And if I named some denominations, some of y'all would get mad because you might be a member of one of them. But if I went to a church that wouldn't pray for me when I needed prayer, I'd find me another church.
Amen.
Hello? And that's not knocking anybody. It's just, it's about time we get back to what the Bible said. If there is sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let's lay hands on them.
Amen.
And let's pray for them.
Amen.
Somebody say, what good does it do? I think prayer works, don't you, Brother Sonny?
Amen.
Amen. I've seen it work. And I know God does things through prayer. But now notice, they answered her not a word, and then they tried to send her away. And then it gets worse. Jesus says something, she says something to him, she starts worshiping him. And let's face it, it's easy to worship God when everything's going your way. It's easy to worship God when, you know, the check came in the mail and everything's wonderful. But it's hard sometimes to worship when you got the fire still burning around your feet. And it's hard to worship sometimes when you see the lions cleaning their teeth waiting on you to drop in a hole. Amen. It's sometimes a little hard to worship when you don't know what the answer is going to be and you're still in the middle of the storm. But notice this, it's even harder to worship when the person you're trying to get something from actually acts like they don't want you there. Because not only did Jesus turn a deaf ear to her and the disciples say, send her away, Jesus followed up and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now she's not a Jew, so all of a sudden he says, lady, I'm not even come to help you. But notice this woman's so persistent in her worship, she said, truth, Lord, you didn't come for me. That's fine. And I'm a dog. But the dogs can eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. Amen. She just kept on worshiping. Hallelujah. Oh, church, some of you need to realize y'all keep hanging on for a roast when if you just get you a little crumb, you'd have it made. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I've heard this before. You're going to hear it again. Some of y'all keep hanging on for a pone of cornbread when all you need is some meal and flour and put the thing together and cook a little bit. You'd have your own cornmeal. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. I'm like, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that if God gives you a crumb off his table, it's as good as anything that's on the table. Amen. And we need to have the kind of faith and worship that says, oh, I don't need the whole roast. All I need is just a crumb. I don't need all your attention. I just need you to lean over this way just a little bit, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to call on your name. Amen. You say, preacher, what good did it do? Because she kept being persistent in her praise and in her worship and in her faith. Amen. The Bible said Jesus turned and said, woman, great is thy faith. Hallelujah. All of a sudden he said, hey, you got more faith than these guys walking with me. You're believing for something and they won't believe. Can I tell you, we've got people walking off the street that come to this church and sit down in our pews and hear the word of God, has more faith than some of the people that's been here for 20 years, because they'll catch what God's trying to do and they'll sell out to him and God will do something in their life. And some of us, with our religiosity and everything going on in us, can't let go of what we think is reality, and we need to let God move in our life and forget about what we think and what we know and say, wait a minute, I know that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all anything I could ask or think, and because of that, I'm not worried about tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. John chapter 12, Jesus made this statement. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men nigh unto me. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You want to get to God? You start worshiping him. The higher you lift him, the higher you're going to go. Hello? Oh, I read the word of God said, but if you will just worship me, I will open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings you cannot contain. They will then be pressed down and running over. Church, sometimes you just got to worship God. Sometimes prayer is all you've done, but you need to stop every once in a while and just begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Just give him thanks for what he's already done. Can I tell you that when the army surrounded Jerusalem, amen, the king got a message from God, and it was, you have been praying and I've heard your prayer, but now go out worshiping me, go out praising me. And the Bible said he lined the army up, put the priest in front of them, and they walked out the door singing, glory is the Lord God Almighty, to receive glory and honor. And when they cleared the gate, the enemy heard them, got confounded, killed one another and left, and they were delivered from the enemy because they began to worship God. Can I tell you, sometime you need to just lift up your hands and say, my God is able, and I worship you, God, because you are a great God, a mighty God who is able to do all things. And in worshiping him, God will open up the windows and pour out blessings into your life. The Bible said, then came she and worshiped him. And he said, truth. Truly, a godly mother doesn't just teach her children how to worship and pray, but she models it before them. Every once in a while, you just got to model what you're doing. You know, it's one thing to tell somebody how to do something. It's another to live it in front of them where they see you practicing it and begin to live by it. Somebody said, you mean I'm supposed to pray out loud where they can hear me? Ain't nothing wrong with that, but even if they don't, if they know you're praying. Listen, the disciples probably never heard Jesus pray that much because he always went off by himself. But they noticed every time he come out from behind them bushes, he'd lay hands on folks and they'd get healed. And they went up to him and said, hey, what you doing behind them bushes? We want to know. Glory. Because there's something happening when you get back there. And he said, well, then you pray in this manner. Glory. Hello? We got to live in front of people so they know we're godly people. You don't have to wear a thing, run around, I'm a Christian. Bless God. Wear a sign so everybody know who you are. You ought to live so after a while they realize there's something different about you. Amen. Glory. I'm going to hurry. Mickey's big hand ain't made it to the 12 yet. Last but not least, she was a woman of persistent prayer. Psalms 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the God I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise the name of thy loving kindness for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all names. And in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. David said, oh, when I started looking toward heaven and talking to you, it's when I started getting strength. Can I tell you, sometimes we got to understand persistent prayer change folks when nothing else will. Come on, church. Mamie and Lomer, that's my grandparents, but that's what I have to call them by. That's all I ever knew them by, because I wasn't allowed to call them nothing else because it was dangerous to do so if they were within hand reach. But Mamie was one of them that they'd come visit. They lived in Gadsden, we lived in Buell. They'd come visit and Mamie would get down to pray. And she didn't pray out loud, but it woke everybody in the building up. Now, your grandmama may never done that, but Mamie would get in there praying. And I was always the youngest, so I was the last one that'd wake up, but something would wake me up because I wasn't quite the heathen the rest of them was. It's the only thing I could figure. Because I'd walk outside and there'd be my brothers and my daddy and my uncle that lived with us. That was Mamie's boy. He stayed at our house once he stayed home, and him and my two older brothers are about the same age. And they'd all be out there and they'd look up and say, "We might as well go fishing. You ain't sleeping in the house with that woman." She in there. I went in one night, she's down beside the bed. Ain't nothing out loud, but there's something moving through that house messing us heathens up. And we ended up going fishing because we tried going to the barn that come down there. She'd just keep praying, and we'd get out the barn, you know, 100, 200 yards down behind the house, and there'd be something bugging us down there in the barn. So we'd go fishing and just get away from her. Didn't catch nothing, but we'd go fishing. Hello? Someone said, "Why'd you do that?" Because we weren't wanting to go to church, and that was the only other option. We was either going to get saved or get away because she was in there praying for us. That's the kind of prayers your family needs to have. The kind that reaches out and touches somebody. You ain't got to be AT&T. You just get hold of God and touch somebody. Come on, church. Amen. See, I am who I am from things I learned from my grandmother. Mamie taught me a lot without ever teaching me anything. And my pawpaw taught me a lot because during the last part of my life, his life as a man of God, I'd go to his house and stay with him, and he'd wake me up praying for me. He'd go to church and hear me preach. He was a man that I just enjoyed. I'd go by and just stop at his house and stay a few hours. I remember one Sunday in particular, I drove from Florida. I was starting revival in Rainbow City. And I went to my pawpaw's house and knocked on the doors about 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought I'd sleep 2 or 3 hours, get me a quick bath and change into a suit and run to Rainbow City and preach. He opened the door and put a .38 pistol right on the front of my head. And I said, "Whoa, pawpaw." He said, "Kenny, you get killed quick like that boy." And I'm like, "Yeah, I figured that out." I didn't sleep much that night because I got in there and laid on the couch. And about the time I dropped off to sleep, he come in there and got down beside the couch. Said, "God, touch my baby. God, put strength in him. God, help him win souls. God, help him do a work for you." And he spent the rest of the night praying for God to touch me in the revival. I never forget when my pawpaw passed away. They were reading the will, and some of them said, "Well, we got to go see what pawpaw left us." I said, "I already got mine." Oh, they were mad. They demanded that the lawyer make me tell them what pawpaw gave me because they thought I got something, because they'd been in there arguing over the oak table and the silverware that was real, and they'd been arguing over who was going to get the shoe boxes because they knew there was money in one of them. That's my pawpaw's bank. He had a shoebox that he had full of money, and one of them figured if they get the shoeboxes, the money would be in there. What, they didn't know somebody that got the money out of the shoeboxes? All they got was shoeboxes. But I said, "I already got what I want." They said, "Tell him to tell us what pawpaw gave him." I said, "Okay, y'all ask for it." I said, "Pawpaw gave me a heritage of prayer. Came through him and Mamie both." I said, "Y'all live right here in town with him and never bothered to go over and spend time with him." And I said, "But every time I came through town, he was teaching me about God, telling me about a heritage I could have with him." I said, "When I'd stay at Mamie's house, she'd wake you up in the night praying for you." I've got a cousin about 6 months older than I am. A few weeks ago, I preached his mom's funeral. We used to stay at Mamie's house a lot. I'd go up on the weekend. If mom and them were somewhere else, we would go to Mamie's and stay. And I'll never forget one Saturday morning in particular, she woke us up praying. Now, my pawpaw built that house when he was 16 years old. It had 4x4 posts on 6-foot centers with little wood slats going across, and you could see through the wall, so you know you could hear through it. And Mamie normally didn't pray out loud, but she got right up against that wall on the other side of where we were laying in what was actually the bathroom. And she's up against that wall, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, "Oh God, I need your help. Because see, my papa and mammy, they thought feeding folks on Sunday was a ministry. They were real church of God. They did it every Sunday. They would go by people at the Alabama City Church of God that were new, and they'd say, hey, come over to the house. We're going to feed today. And they'd have a big meal over at their house like a homecoming every Sunday. And I mean, we got preachers in the Church of God got saved in my grandparents' living room because my uncles would go play in the piano, and they'd get to singing. They just have church there at the house on Sunday afternoon, and there was people getting saved in that living room on a regular basis. And she's in that prayer, and she said, God, I need your help. I got folk coming tomorrow going to eat. And I need some help, God. I was going to cook a roast, but I got to have some taters and carrots. I'm dying on the bed laughing. And y'all may not remember this, but they used to have old metal bed frames. They wasn't the ones everybody wants to run by now. These were just some cast iron. They wasn't, you know, wrought iron. That's cast iron. It's junk. But that's all anybody could afford. They had that old, with the metal springs underneath and a, you know, a mattress on top, and if a spring broke, it came up through the mattress and woke you up. Some of y'all missed that fun. Well, you'd keep a pair of pliers in the bedroom, so you pick the mattress up and bend that wire back over and throw the mattress back down. And I'm in there laughing, and that whole bed's rattling because all that metal's touching each other. My cousin, what is wrong with you? I said, the woman is praying for taters. Can you hear it? She's praying for carrots and taters. He got out the bed. He said, my God, you're going to get struck with lightning? And he was serious because he went to church. Y'all got to understand, I was living with a backslid Methodist preacher. We didn't go to church. I bounced in and out of churches, but I didn't stay one very long. And I was laying in that bed laughing, and he gets up and tells me that. And then, oh, man, I'm sitting there. About that time, she said, God needs some green vegetable, too. Ain't got nothing. God, you know, something yellow, corn or something. Make a whole meal. I got the cornbread and the tea and coffee. We're going to have a time, God. Somebody might get saved. She said, by the way, Lord, ain't got that roast either. I got to have some help. And then she put an addendum. She said, rascal's laughing at me. I don't know how I got that nickname, but it stuck all the way up to my pawpaw died. I was rascal. Y'all might figure it out if you hang around me long. She said, rascal's in there laughing at me. She said, maybe you could touch him. Said, he likes chocolate milk. You might could send him some. Man, I come out that bed, throw my tennis shoes on, look at my cousin, man, we ain't got to wait on the tater. She praying for milk, and the milkman finna go by. I run out on the front porch, and there's two glass quart jars of milk. Y'all remember them? They brought by the house, had the little paper on a cardboard thing stuck on the top. Wasn't even sealed. You just got it, and it'd last ever how long that quart bottle would last. You set them out there, and you put the empties, and they'd replace them with new ones. Right in the middle of them two jars was a carton of chocolate milk. I looked at my cousin, I said, look here, that guy done made a mistake. And I grabbed that chocolate milk, and I took off down the road, and I stopped him. I said, hey, you left this milk in Miss Malone's house. She didn't order it. He said, no, she didn't. As a fellow in the corner said, leave it for her grandson. I walked back to the house. I had that milk out like this. I mean, I wasn't taking no chances. I got back, told my cousin, drink some. I looked at him, I said, you know, we've been set up. Papa went down and bought that milk. He said, Papa's in that bedroom asleep. He was in the room we was in. So why my Papa down the street? Somebody stopped that milk truck and bought a quart of milk for Mamie's grandson. I finally drank some of the milk. I didn't get saved. But you know, later on that day, this lady come by and dropped off a big old 15-pound bag of taters. Another lady come by and dropped off some carrots, and both of them said something like, I know this sounds stupid, but I was at the store, and the Lord told me just buy this and bring it by. Guy worked at the bank. Come by and said, Miss Malone, I saw him cutting up a cow down there at the meat market a while ago, and I told him just cut this big roast off and bring it in here. Do you know she prayed for a 15-pound roast? And I hung that thing on my pawpaw's fish scale, and it weighed exactly 15 pounds. I looked at my cousin, the lady next door comes in, she said, "Miss Malone, I got about 6 or 7 jars of green beans that they put up last year, so they're still good, but I need to get rid of them so I can put some new ones up. Will you use them if I give them to you?" We sitting on the front porch, I looked at Tony and I said, "Man, if that corn shows up." Lo and behold, this doofus pulls up out there with a truckload of corn going, "Miss Malone, you get them grand boys, help me shuck that down. I'll give you them last 5 or 6 here, or dozen I got out there." We out there ripping corn. I said, "Oh, God, she's got it all." I think that's when I got saved, made me start believing in God. Because when I got saved, I remembered her praying and being specific. And I got saved, and 2 weeks after I got saved, they told my mom she had 6 months to live with cancer, and I got specific. I said, "All right, dude. And y'all just deal with my prayer the way you want to, but I pray just like I'm talking to somebody." Hello? I know some of y'all can't speak nothing but King James when you're praying, but he speaks English. I got down behind the bar and I said, "Okay, dude, they tell me you can heal, but I ain't never seen you heal anybody. But if you'll heal my mama, I'll preach." God had been after me all my life, be a preacher, and I ran from him because I had no intentions of ever preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had no intentions of ever being in church. But when they told me my mom had 6 months to live, I made up my mind I wanted mom around more than I wanted my life. And I said, "Okay, God, you heal my mom, I'll preach." Y'all have heard this story. You're going to hear it again because it's part of my life. 3 weeks later, they done a radium implant, and they took an x-ray to be sure the radium was in the right place, and they took her back in and done surgery because they couldn't find the cancer when they took the x-ray. And they went in with their hands and took the radium out and said, "We can't find tumors. We can't find scar tissue." My mom was declared cancer-free, and I know somebody said, "Well, that's all right. That don't mean nothing." It does, because 31 years later, my mama died of something else called old age. Oh, 83 years old, 31 years later, when they gave her 6 months to live, and the last thing I remember was 2 months before she died, the doctor said, "All I can say is she's still cancer-free." Hallelujah. This lady prayed for her daughter. When it was time to give up, she wouldn't give up. That's the kind of mothers we're looking for. That's the kind of parents we're looking for. It's somebody that'll get on their knees and say, "Wait a minute, I'm not quitting. I want it to work." That's like the Shulamite whose son died, and she went to the man of God and he said, "How are you?" She said, "It's well with me." And all of a sudden she admits to him her son's dead, and he said, "But I know God didn't give him to keep him." Amen. And the man of God goes and prays for him. That kid gets up and he walks him down the stairs and puts his hand back in mama's hand. He become a great prophet for God. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm telling you, some of you need to understand, you got kids. They may not be where they need to be, but if you'll keep calling on God, I've got a God that will answer. I've got a God that we'll move. I got a God that can do something if we just learn to be persistent in our faith, persistent in our worship, and persistent in our prayers. I got a God that can do great things if we'll just call on him. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, I thank you today, God, for your word. God, I thank you for your presence I feel in this house right now. God, I'm believing you to reach down, to touch, to move, to minister. Lord, with the power of your divine grace, move on us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 God, have your way.